I'd like to call the January 14th meeting of the Saguaro City Council to order at 7 p.m. First item is roll call.
Stephen Jones, present.
Connie Maneris, present. Dolly Arons, present.
Richard Adams, present.
Matt Weber, present.
And Dana has an excuse, Gaslin. Okay, pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag,
not in states of America, to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. Okay, we don't have any special presentations. We don't have any special presentations tonight, so we're going to move to approval of the minutes. First set is November 26th. And has everybody had a chance to look at these? Any motion? Is there any changes? Anybody want?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next 7 minutes is December 10th, 2012. Anybody have any comments on these? I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the meeting minutes for December 10th, 2012.
Is there a second? Second by Connie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Council report and request. It's been a while. Let's see. David and I attended a meeting with the other mayors, and that topic is going to be on this agenda. I guess we'll discuss that then. I can't remember what else. Richard?
Last month I attended the plant manager's group. I'm not sure what they're exactly called. LaPorte plant manager. At the Monument Inn, and gave a state of the city talk. The mayor couldn't make it, so I went. So that went well. It was just Mayor Rigby and I. And then last Thursday, four meetings to attend, so I had to pick. So I picked to go listen to Commissioner Mormon. He came to UH Clear Lake and just kind of gave an update on his office, which some of us probably knew, but I'll read it to you. He said when he first took office, he had to cut about 100 staff and about $12 million, a single way over budget. He's known as the Infrastructure Commissioner, and he said he's proud of that. He said they're going to build a new Beltway 8 bridge, I presume is the big tall one over by 225. I don't know what other Beltway 8 bridge there would be, but he said it'd be for Port of Houston traffic. So leave that as a questionable comment on my part, but he said Beltway 8 bridge. I don't know what other one there would be. Anybody have a clue?
They've got some bridges by Highway 9.
The Beltway does have some length to it. It has a lot of bridges.
You didn't specifically say 225?
No, but I would put two and two together and thinking coming from this direction.
Oh, it would have to be in his precinct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I presume I got that. Mentioned the 146 South project again, still under talks. There's $400 million cost from Red Bluff South to widen to 8 lanes. That's their hope. To go 8 lanes, not elevated, and then build a new Pima bridge. It'll be 8 lanes. So that fact I know is true. Whether it will happen or not in our lifetime, I don't know. But that's on their wish list. He said he was pleased with Janice Lynn Longoria's selection as chairman of the port. And his last comment was he does not want to raise property taxes.
Along those same lines, our mayor pro tem has suggested that we invite Commissioner Mormon here to speak. So if anybody has any topics that you would like to hear him address, would you just send me an email, please? So we can ask him beforehand. Okay, moving on. I'm going to close the regular meeting at 7:05 p.m. and I am going to open the public hearing at 7:06, which p.m. is public hearing is on Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation to the City Council for a proposed ordinance number 2013-135 that would amend the residential garage requirements for elevated homes on piers. David, you want to give a quick summary of what that's about?
The City Council had an interest in having the Planning and Zoning Commission look at the garage requirements as they pertain now to the large number of homes that we're having that are built on piers that are elevated high enough to park vehicles under. We find a number of homes that only have to go up 4 or 5 feet or going on up to 8 or 9 feet so that they do have usable space underneath or at least a cover. That being the case, the mayor drafted an ordinance and sent it to the Planning and Zoning Commission. They took that up at 2 meetings. They held a public hearing that was published on November 19th of 2012. They received input and wrote a recommendation to council and made some minor modifications to the ordinance. That ordinance is the one that's on the website and is in your packet this evening, and will come up for discussion later this evening. Their recommendation is that the draft ordinance be modified to limit the exception to meeting the fully enclosed requirement and allow all other garage requirements to survive. They require 2 sides to be fixed, not temporary or movable, and to modify the language to require each side meet the 80% opaque requirement. Those were their suggestions to the ordinance. And so that will come back before council tonight. This is a public hearing for the City Council before they take that up for consideration, give the public an opportunity before this body, as they have with the Planning and Zoning Commission, to offer their comments as to what they like and don't like and what their recommendations would be.
Thank you. With that, I ask if there anybody present who wishes to submit any comments to council on that issue? No one?
Yes, the proposed ordinance is on the city's website. It would go to the council meeting, mm-hmm. and then it will be ordinance number.
Okay.
That sounds close.
2013-135.
There you go. And that is the as amended by the Planning and Zoning Commission, which is what will be considered tonight.
Okay. Otherwise, I will close the public hearing at 7:09 p.m. And then I will go back and reopen up the public council meeting at 7:09 p.m. Next item on the agenda is item 6.2, citizens' comments. If there's anybody here that wants to speak on any issue that's not on the agenda, now is the time. Darlene, I have a note here that you're interested. You want to come up first, please?
Yeah, sure. She is on the agenda, so yeah, I'm 6.2.
Okay. Well, I thought long before this was actually put on the agenda, because this community means a lot to me. And I don't mind what I see going on. Back on December 20th, I went away. It was 2:32 in the morning. And there was a big thunder cloud, flash of light. And then the light, which we've grown accustomed to on daily because it just happens. You know, it can be a squirrel. So I get up and go and try to report it. And I stay online for about 30 minutes. I wanted to talk to somebody, but of course that didn't happen. So I left a message of where I was. What has happened, and that that it's used. This is the night that the bad program. Not at 6:30 in the morning. So I called again. I said, I will be going to East Coast. So I said, okay. Where do I go? Get back and say, maybe some of you can do something. Not all. Well, come to find out, when I walked in the back, behind that his house, in the yard behind the house, there's a dead tree. And that dead tree has been there for over 2 years. And it has been reported about. I know by Nancy, and I've mentioned dead trees before. Well, that dead tree was either hit by lightning and came down, or it fell down because of the bad wind we had. But when it fell down, it took the line out. But then it also fell on the fence and then proceeded to fall on Nancy's teepee house. The teepee hole, because she has a teepee hole in the backyard. Teepee hut is bamboo. And so there's the pole laying on her teepee hut that's locked. And Centerpoint is saying it's confused. Couldn't get through to come back and call. Couldn't get through. So I came down here and I got Andy to call to see if she could get through something. Maybe the city could get through when a residential person couldn't. She was able to get through. And they said, I was confused. I said, no, ma'am, it's not a confused. It's a tree down that took a teepee pole down, a pole that fell on a teepee hut. And I said, it's why? I said, you know, the possibility of fire, you know, with bamboo and tang and wet. She said, oh, we didn't know that. Now, this is new. And so by 4 o'clock that afternoon, we finally got electricity. Where I'm going with this is because of the dead tree. If the dead tree had been taken care of before now, and not over 2 years later, this would not have happened. And I did some damage. But what if it happened another time and it falls on a house and somebody hit it, or falls on somebody? Well, we have tons of dead trees. The lots next to Nancy has 8 that I counted and I put 10. All around there are dead trees. Center Point, when I was talking to him, said, this is going to keep happening. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't put a price on a lot if a tree falls or if a fire from falling on the lot. And so I think something needs to be done with the dead tree. I know the city. Government is not easy to run. Boy, I know that over the years. But this has been long enough. That is it.
Thanks, Tony. David, when you do your updates, could you please provide council information on activities involved? Thanks. Anybody else wish to address council? Sure.
Howard Dahl, 511 Baywood, went to the CCAP meeting last Wednesday. Had an interesting presentation there from Maria with TxDOT, and basically came out with all kinds of stuff on how they're going to sign the new overpass that they're going to start to build. This one that they just completed is heading southbound going into the fort. This is going to be northbound coming out of the fort, apparently. But that eventually will get taken care of. Then the Port of Houston passed out their winter blog, I think. Now, talk to Anna, ask her a question there. She's the TxDOT engineer. Cord is up there. asked her about the sound wall, and she said the sound wall is part of the northbound, is part of the northbound connector project. That's 146 at Fort Worth, Texas. The signage plot is for. And she said the contractor for the sound wall is just waiting to get a go-ahead for them. That the holdup is an environmental issue. New wetlands were discovered in the area, and now a new permit and new evaluation and new approval is needed. And I know that's such a huge area that no one had the opportunity to actually look to see if there were wetlands that were affected over however many years and that we all know.
You're talking about our sound wall?
I'm talking about our sound wall.
Right.
So,
was this a recent development?
Apparently so, because they've awarded the contract, the contractor's all ready to go, all it needs is approval, but they discovered some new wetlands.
Okay, well, let's you finish, and then I'll tell you what I was told.
Okay. And then, Port of Houston, apparently they're still going to go ahead and widen and deepen the channel. 100 feet on the dirt, I guess, on ground, and 50 feet in widening the water part of it. They're expecting a 5% increase in traffic in 2013. They said no cranes are on order right now. They didn't have any idea about the conversation that they had with the city a year or so ago about getting the cranes to meet lower noise emission standards. And there's a big personnel reorganization now, and basically Roger Gunter is the person in charge of all operations now, so that would be the person that would affect us. And then here's the air quality report that they passed out a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, thank you.
The only thing that really surprised me was the new wetlands that were discovered.
That surprises me too, because the last time I spoke with them, they told me that was done. They called me specifically to tell me that was done, and the holdup was due to specifically to AT&T that had to remove some lines. And that was going to take 6 to 9 months, and I remember because I was amazed it was going to take that long. But I thank you, and I will follow up on
that. They did mention something about moving some lines.
Yeah.
And they were somewhat nebulous about all this, but got several of us to lift our heads and go, what was the newly discovered weapon?
This was a TxDOT discussion? Okay.
Yes, this was from, her name is on the, sorry, Maria somebody or other. She is the one I asked about it now. It should be just typical that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand means.
Yeah, and obviously they don't know about our work with Roger Gunther. And I probably should, if I have another meeting for it. Specifically on ordering low emission cranes when they order. That's still evolving in a positive. Okay, thank you. Anybody else who has Charlotte?
Mainly a question. So if
sure.
I want to
oh, okay, go ahead.
To read the resolution that's going to be 8.8, I don't see that on the webpage. So can I talk during that?
Let's wait on that because there's some things I want to say to that as well. And you're talking about the garage one?
No. The resolution on the port.
Oh, the resolution on the port?
But I don't see it on the.
I think it's the last item on the agenda.
So it's written on the agenda?
Yeah.
It's in the column, it says resolutions on the website.
Yeah, and I have some things I want to say on that as well.
Okay, well, I'll be able to speak on
that. Anybody else on the draft council on an item that is not on the agenda?
Okay. Moving on. Administrator report. Dave, do you want to do the general activity and
yep.
all the other associated reports?
I will. Let me start off talking about dead trees. I pulled some of my activity on that. The tree issue is a perpetual issue. It never goes away because we constantly have new trees damaged or dying. Of course, Hurricane Ike caused a big spike. Rita was a similar issue. With damaged trees from Rita, we had a lot of wind damage with Rita. Then with Ike, we had the storm damage that was immediate, and then we had the salt water that killed a number of trees. And so the trees died, you know, a whole cycle after the storm damage. The trees are dealt with in two separate realms. One is the trees that are in the public right-of-way, which are city trees, and the Public Works Department takes care of that. The very large trees we contract for removal, and the smaller trees the Public Works Department takes care of. There's constantly trees taken down and constantly new trees put on the list. As of today, there are 5 trees on the list, 3 of which will be contracted for and we're out for quotes right now. Those have just come on.
That's the city's list, correct?
That's the city's list of the trees that we are monitoring responsible for. Then we have trees that are on private property. That's handled not by Public Works, but by the police department, and there's kind of one happy exception there, and those trees that are on private property that are in a utility easement, which is private property, it's not city property, we just have an easement to be there for our utilities. Public Works will make contact with the other utilities, specifically CenterPoint, where a tree might pose a hazard to an electric line. And CenterPoint will come and take the tree down on the private property where the city is not, we're not authorized to do work on private property, but CenterPoint will because it threatens their line, and they'll cut the tree down and they leave it on that property. So they don't haul it off, and you can see evidence of some CenterPoint trees because they'll cut them off at about 20 feet. Above that is what threatens their line. Beneath that, they don't. So when you drive down Short Acres Boulevard, you'll see some trees that are to the north that are 20-foot stumps, and that's been addressed by CenterPoint. We like to do that for 2 reasons. One, we're concerned about the electric lines, the phone lines, the cable lines, as well as the falling on anybody or anything, and CenterPoint is, when there is a tree that's eligible, it helps the homeowner, the property owner, and the city. So we try to do that. Then there's what's on the private property that doesn't fall into either one of those, or CenterPoint has declined to say that it's a hazard to them. And then it's on the homeowner, and the police department enforces that. I pulled my records in my contact with the police department, and like I said, it's an ongoing thing. So,
real quick, David, what is the easement for the center point? Is that 15 feet from center line of the power line?
No, most places in the city, and it varies, but the majority is 10 feet each mm-hmm. side of the rear property line.
Okay.
But they also have front easements. They also are in the right-of-way, which is not an easement. So, for example, the utility lines that are along Short Acres Boulevard, where it's divided, those are not in an easement. They are in the county's right-of-way, not the city's right-of-way, because that section of road is the county's right-of-way. I had contact with the police department September 1st of 2010. And I'm looking here at a memo to the police department January 5th of 2011, at which time there were 25 dead trees that were on the list that I provided to the police department. 22 of those property owners have been notified, and we're required to give 60 days notice. They have 60 days to take a tree down, so it doesn't happen right away. That's triggered by getting official notice that they're in violation, and they have 60 days to take the tree down, another 30 days to get the tree removed. So it doesn't happen fast. at the date of this memo, I was pointing out to the then police chief that we had 22 properties that had passed the 60-day notice and the trees were still standing. And so those after this had all been notified. Well, we had this continuing evolution. We had the trees that were killed by salt water, then we had another cycle where it was pine beetles, and then we had drought trees that followed that. Okay. The tree that it was talked about this evening has been on all of those lists since 2010. We had CenterPoint come out twice in two different years to come look at that tree because we believed that it posed a threat to that power line. CenterPoint disagreed. It's their line and it's their call, and they didn't. There are a lot of trees they do take down, but that one they said was not. I would say there's empirical evidence they were wrong, that it was a threat. We have had a number of the property owners in municipal court. As of January 2011, we had only had one. We've now had dozens in municipal court and got more action. We have a new police chief, and the cycle has started again of notifying people, property owners. There are some things that the tenants are responsible for and property owners, and frankly, if either one wants to take a tree down, we let everybody know and give them the option to take it down. So we agree to a hazard. There is pushback. I do get angry phone calls from people when we tell them they have to cut a tree down. They call me and tell me how expensive it is, and they can't afford it, and the tree is going to come back. It's not really dead. And I hear all those things. But we really have reached the point where I do insist that they be cited and that we go ahead and take them to court. And even at that, municipal court can only fine them. Municipal court can't give us the right to go cut the tree down. And so we do what we can do. We would really like for people to be good neighbors and good citizens and when they have a hazardous tree to take it down. I mean, they're at risk as much as anybody. Unfortunately, a lot of these are on vacant lots with absentee owners. And that's a little more problematic. They're a little harder for us to reach out and touch and get some action. But there is nothing that was said this evening that I would disagree with. These are ongoing serious problems. Are going to fall on things and people, and we have evidence. We have had cases of the trees falling on houses, not during a storm, just these dead trees falling on fences and houses. And fortunately, so far, no people. But we will continue with the enforcement, and when people come and complain about us taking them to court over dead trees, and I'm sure you'll hear the other side of this. But
what about these specific owners? Do they live in the city?
On this particular property, no.
Have they been fined?
I don't know what the current status of that case is. I do know we know who the owners are, and I do know that it has been referred to the court. I don't know.
And if they don't show up, then they don't get a fine. The warrant issued?
If they don't show up, then a bench warrant can be issued for their arrest. If they do show up and get fined and don't pay the fine, then a KPS warrant is issued for that as well. Unfortunately, neither one of those get the tree to come down. And it is expensive to take some of these large trees down. It's well over $1,000.
So when are you going to take a dent from the fallen trees to get them in action? These trees that aren't in those two lots next to Nancy, like I said, I quit counting them. They're big pines, and they've been dead for well over a year.
Yeah, and those owners are responsible for them. When they fall on something, they're responsible for that. Property damage and deaths included.
Well, that's terrible, isn't it?
It is terrible.
My God.
It is terrible, but there's a limit to what the city has in that. They have a personal responsibility as well.
The 60 days that we allow them to act and 30 days to remove the tree, is that our own city ordinance?
That's in the city code, yes.
Do we have the option, should we choose, to reduce that amount?
I'll have to see if there is a state law predicate for that. In some cases, we've adopted the same conditions as state law. Like on junk vehicles, for example, there's state statute that mandates exactly how many days notice and the type of notice. And I'm with dead trees, I'm not aware of any state law, but before I jump out and say that we have flexibility, I'd like to research that and see.
Would you please, I don't know how council feels, and I know we can't really get into this today, but let me use that, what I'm thinking is if you could get that information, we could take it back to council and see if council thinks 90 days is too long. Do they want to change it or not?
Okay.
All right.
I also attended the meeting with the Economic Alliance, and it was a very fascinating presentation by the local operations manager of ExxonMobil about their forecast. They're expanding their facilities. They're seeing increased energy production, which is very positive for our area, for the economy. They also see that the cost of energy coming down, natural gas specifically, and that will drive more industry, make it more cost competitive to do manufacturing here as opposed to overseas, all which paint a very positive picture for our economy over a long period of time. This isn't a short range projection. We have electrical issues with Center Point at water plant number one. We have the same interactions with Center Point as some of our residents. Our contractor has built the new service to get the water plant hooked up, and Center Point came out and looked at it and decided that that they wanted to see something different. And so now we're having to go back, and I say we're not, the contractor is, to build a platform and railing to meet the requirements of Center Point before they make a connection. So we are waiting to get electricity at Water Plant 1. It's a little frustrating. It's slowing our project down. They've been moving on where they can. You know, we're having the supervisory control and data acquisition system that will automate all of our plants. The transceiver for that, for the main control, has been installed now in City Hall in our telecom room. Here in the near future, they'll put the antenna up on our existing tower, tie that into our local area network, which will then provide us with a wide area network for our facilities. And so we're pleased to see that progress going on. Last week we had a house fire on Fairfield, a person being struck by lightning, punched a hole through the house and set the heating unit and the attic ablaze. I happened to drive up on it just as it happened. The homeowner had already called 911 and the fire department was en route. The LaPorte Fire Department arrived with a truck and one fireman, assisted by Sergeant Cantu and Officer Thompson. I drug hose into the house. We're able to make a pretty quick stop. By the time additional firemen, second truck, drove up, they were already putting some water on the fire. You can drive by today and you can't really even tell that there was a fire in the house. It's largely intact. If it weren't for the carpet padding that's rolled up across the whole front of the house, you'd have a hard time figuring out which one it is. So not only did the LaPorte Fire Department do a great job on that in the rain, but so did our officers, and Chief Newman stood out there in the rain as well. And so they're to be commended. I would comment that I also attended a TxDOT pre-construction meeting for the sound wall with the contractor that's doing that, and during the pre-construction it was indicated that that they had 90% of the environmental taken care of. It sounds like they did hit a hitch in that last 5%, but the real showstopper there was an AT&T telephone line that had to be relocated, and they expected that to take months. That's the general activity report. In your packet is a memo dated January 9th, and I'll talk about first Monday heavy fall pickup report. As you all recall, in November, our Monday lasted for 6 days. We had six Mondays that week in November. Our contractor took 36 hours and pulled out 10 and a half loads of debris and material curbside. December was a vast improvement, 8 hours and three loads, and we're really pleased that January was also accomplished in 8 hours with three loads. So we are within budget now. It looks like we have enough funds budgeted for our heavy haul if we can keep on this track to finish out the fiscal year and not run over. I think we, at some point, we hope that it kind of lightens up, particularly with yard debris, that people get hauled off. It isn't really heavy pickup, but you know, we had and we're about to circulate again the list of things that are eligible to put out. One of the things that's on the list that's not eligible are tires. And Public Works Director David Sutton was tasked with finding some place we could take tires so that we could do a tire collection day, not as an ongoing event, but one day to let people get the tires out of their garage or off their vacant lots. We know of tires that are in the right-of-way that we want to go pull out and get out of the city. And that vendor has been located, and they're willing to not charge us anything if we deliver the tires to them. And it's relatively local. It's in LaPorte. And so here in the near future, we'll be scheduling. We'll probably do a postcard and get the word out. And we'll ask people to bring the tires. We're trying to figure the logistics of it. If we want to have people bring the tires up here and put them in a truck so that we don't have to handle them more than once, or if we want to do curbside with the tires as well. But one way or the other, we're looking to have a one-day-a-year tire collection so that we can let people get rid of those tires.
Tire blowout.
Yes, we're going to have a tire blowout. Maybe wheelies. And that is all I have for my reports.
So on the heavy pickup, we stick with the $59 a month for the rest of the fiscal year, and we'll survive. But if we have another heavy, then we'll have to play with the budget, looks like.
Yeah, of course, it's all averaging, so we're diminishing the number of months, but I anticipate that between now and September that we'll have some lighter months than what we're currently seeing.
Okay. And I'm particularly pleased to hear about the tire pickup. That's certainly is a good benefit to the city for the right price.
Yeah, exactly. A little labor.
Right.
Okay, next item is 7.2, monthly police department report. Keith, do you want to?
Yes, he does.
Read your report. Do you have some items?
I guess my idea is I left the copy of the report. I left mine on my desk. Thank you. We had noticed on in the activity report for the month that I left, we had several reports of credit cards lost, but there's not much police department can do about that. People had noticed, had either got calls from their bank or had noticed unusual credit card transactions in their accounts, so they were able to get those stops. I don't think actually the residents lost any funds or anything like that. We had one several months ago where they noticed on a credit account that they had apparently ordered a large amount of manure in Kenya. And the resident didn't actually own any property there. They immediately called their bank in order to get that stopped so that transaction went through. So we're asking everybody to keep an eye on their credit card safety for anything odd. And if they do, contact right away. We get calls because the complainant has to have a case number, a police report number to give to their bank, so their bank can institute an investigation. We leave all those investigations up to the bank, say they have the ability to do this, that we do not. We got quiet news, even nothing really happened. There were very few calls. I suspect that was probably because of the rain throughout the night, so that apparently kept everybody in. We had some fireworks calls during that period. We also noticed the traffic citations were down considerably from previous months, attributing that somewhat to the weather and holidays, but there's already been an uptick this month, so I think at the end of this month we'll see a noticeable change in those. The main thing I wanted to do is introduce Officer Wayne Thompson. He basically took my position and when I was appointed chief. He's from the area, actually born and raised in Austin, he was raised in Sugarland. He worked for several agencies in this area before he went on to California and worked for a sheriff's department out there, but he came back. We're thrilled to have you bring some excellent skills to the police department, something that we desperately needed for several years for a long time. He's a certified police trainer and a firearms instructor. We've had to outsource that since before I worked for the police department. And now we can do that all in-house. So that's great for us. We can also do a lot of required police training that the officers have to go through for 4 years. We can do that in-house now, but before we also have to send officers to outside academies to do that. So we're thrilled to have him.
Welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me here.
Is that the backfill for your vacated position?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thanks, sir.
Welcome. Thank you. Look forward to working with y'all and seeing y'all.
As soon as Officer Thompson completes the skill training, he'll be on day shift. So all the residents will get to see him like that.
Thank you, Christian. David, do you want to
read
the public works report?
Yep, you have a written report from David Sutton on public works. And the good news there is the number of previously unexplained water breaks that we're having has dried up, pun intended. Only three water breaks or leaks during the month. They've been working on preventive maintenance on hydrants, and we've been going back post-storm and excavating meters that were where there used to be residences and identifying where those meters are at so we can keep them on our inventory and not have any issues going forward. The mowing has resumed. We do that on an ongoing basis, rotating through the city, working from west to east and then back to the west again. No jumping around. We had a little problem with the network on the day that the stats of the productivity report was put together, and so we don't have the hours mode listed there, but we did mow for almost 5 miles of ditch lines. I don't think there was anything else remarkable in the report.
Question about the stop sign repair.
Yes.
Is that normal for 11? And what are they falling down or running into?
No, this is
replacing.
This is an item that Task Force works with picking up the pace on. This is falling in behind our street work. The contractor took signs down and put them back up. But the signs that were up pre-construction didn't meet the current regulatory requirements, and so we've been going through and bringing our stop signs up to standard. Distance off of pavement, height of sign, and reflectivity are the three factors that we missed the mark on. We had done that about a year ago on the streets where there were no construction, where there was no construction going on, for the signs were out of compliance. And now we're going back and hitting where the new street work was done. It didn't make any sense for us to do it ahead of construction. And so now we have the opportunity that they finished with that paving and ditch work.
David, do you want to summarize the monthly financial report?
Sure. This is more exciting this month than usual. First page was the checking accounts. The general fund checking balance is $167,000, which is about $57,000 more than last month's month end. Utility fund is still hovering at right at $23,000. The next page is our CDBG funds, which of course is an in and out. It's just a matter of where it hits at the last of the month. So when we ended December, we had $104,000 in there. And I believe virtually all of that now has been transferred out, some of which just in the last 4 or 5 days. Tax pool, in December, we had $90 in interest, nothing in, nothing out. And that's where the exciting part comes, is we've gotten about $250,000 in property tax this month. So we'll be paying back the tax pool of $100,000 that we pulled for that. Certificates of deposit are just the same. There's a new page in the financial report. There's a couple new pages, but the first one is the property tax collection. And as I have previously described, cash flow and property tax impact, I thought I would put this in the report so you could see. There's a couple things here that happen. The column at the left is the tax roll. The taxable value at the time that we set our budget and adopted a tax rate was $89.5 million in taxable value. In October, the appraisal district did a correction to that and added another $3.9, almost $4 million of taxable value. In November, they added another $3.4 million in taxable value. And in December, $177,000 in taxable value. So today, we're about $8 million to the good. So we have, instead of $89.5 million in taxable value, we have $97 million in taxable value. That $7.5 million in growth, we had talked about that during the tax setting period. I talked about the properties that were under challenge or under protest that would come back on the rolls. And that's what this represents. There were a large number of properties that were under protest. Revenue for this fiscal year, that $800,000 included current and delinquent taxes, interest, and penalties. The amount of the levy based on our new taxable value just on the 2012 taxes would be $819,600. So if we were to collect 100%, we would be $19,000 above our budget. But then the next column that you have there, delinquent taxes, we had $35,000 that were owed to us, well, $36,000 that were owed to us in delinquent taxes at the time we adopted the budget. Those corrections have all been not in our favor, but they've been under $1,000 a month. And so there's still $35,000 in delinquent taxes out there to be collected. And so far this year, we've collected $5,880 in delinquent taxes. So that's 16% of the delinquents. The last column is dispersed totals, and that's the money we've put in the bank. And as of the end of December, we had collected 62% of our tax levy, which is $497,194, and we've collected over $200,000 this month so far. So tax collections are all on track and very positive. The last page in the financial report is also brand new, and I added that in light of discussion we're going to have a little bit later this evening. It's on our sales tax. Our sales tax revenue has been consistently up over the same month last year. You can see that October, November, December, and January have been up 23, 10, 22, and 14% respectively. So we are ahead of what our budget numbers were. We've collected in the first 4 months $20,400 in general sales tax. That's 39% of what we budgeted, and we're 33.3% into the year. So we're about 6% ahead of budget. And our expectation is that that will continue through the rest of the year, so that's very positive. Tied to that, it is a quarter of that amount, is the road maintenance sales tax. That's the 0.25% tax that we collect for maintaining streets. And you can see in the first 4 months, we've collected $5,115 in road maintenance sales tax. And that is the financial report.
Any questions from Council for data? Any other questions?
Observation.
about 3 weeks ago, I got a letter from the City of La Porte. It turned out that they finally discovered that I was actually over 65, so I got a rebate for my taxes of about $1,000. I knew from being here that we have the taxes collected by the City of La Porte, but I didn't realize that the City of La Porte was going to take one day to check for the overage that they collected.
Yeah. And fortunately for us, most of that's school district tax.
Okay, thanks, David. Moving on to business. First item is item 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. Richard, you and Matt, you and
I'd like to make a motion to approve the invoices for the period.
Well, as presented.
As presented.
Thank you.
Motion by Matt, seconded by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.